The time has come. The moment of truth just around the corner. The world's longest human-powered winter race. Okay, that's not the official name. The official name is the Iditarod Trail Invitational, and it starts this Sunday in Alaska, complete with three divisions: runners, bikers, skiers. For months now, the Bryant Park Project has been following Jill Homer as she trained for the race. She spoke with us on the radio. She blogged for us on our website along the way. She was very candid about the cold, about the workouts, about her fears, about 8 days' worth of exertion to make it 350 miles in some extreme weather. But perhaps her biggest nightmare has come true just days before the race. Okay, Jill, tell us what happened.
My bicycle that I shipped out last week is missing en route to its destination in Anchorage. And so right now I'm just kind of waiting and hoping that it shows up.
What do you mean missing? How did it go? I mean, how did you send it? What happened?
Well, you know, Juneau is a small area. It's kind of hard to get anything shipped out of here very easily. And I shipped it FedEx, but they have such a small office that their employees in Juneau don't do any scanning. They just give it to a driver. He ships it to Anchorage, and that's when it first officially shows up on the radar. So it sat in Juneau for a little while, and then supposedly a driver came and picked it up and took it somewhere, but it never got scanned in, so it was just off the radar and sort of just in this vortex of packages. It's just a little disconcerting because this, you know, it's hard to do a bicycle race without a bicycle.
Yeah, and this bicycle is close to you. It's called Pugsley.
Yeah.
Tell us about how you had actually worked on the bike and created sort of the perfect bike for you for this race.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what's so great about this bike is that I ordered a frame and I custom built it up from the ground with all the parts that I like and things I'm comfortable with, the things I know how to fix. And now, you know, I might be able to obtain a rental bike for the race, but it just, I'm worried because this rental bike wouldn't be nearly as familiar and comfortable as my bike.
And I have to imagine it might be more dangerous to have an unknown bike and a bike that could break down and you've never really dealt with that before.
Yeah, it definitely could be a problem if I have a big mechanical that I haven't really worked on and don't really know what to do with this new bike. So,
all right, how much heck did you give FedEx?
Well, you know, I put in about 6 calls and about a similar number of emails, but I started to feel like I just was running around in circles and getting the same answers from different people. So I gave up on that for a while, and now I'm going to take an approach of wait and see and maybe start putting in more calls later today if it still doesn't turn up.
What's the absolute latest that your bike could arrive in Anchorage with enough time for you to feel prepared and settled before this race?
Well, you know, I've got this bike shop in Anchorage waiting to receive it that was going to do some work on it. They wanted to get it early this week to give them enough time to do this little bit of work that I needed to get done, you know, and so I would say that if it doesn't get there by tomorrow, it won't be able to get the work done, but at least I'd still have it, you know, and then if it doesn't get there by Saturday, I wouldn't even be able to use it in the race.
I'm going to think positively that your bike is going to show up on Friday.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yes, we're just going to say Jill's bike is showing up on Friday, and let's just move forward with your thoughts about the race on Sunday. How has the weather been? That's been a big issue for you, and over the course of the past few months, we've talked about the snow, the cold. What do you think about the forecast for this Sunday?
Well, you know, the weather this week in that area has been warm and snowy. Which, you know, warm in the 30s, which is a bad thing because it puts the trail in a bad condition for the bikers, makes it too soft and mushy. Sometimes it's hard to do any biking in at all. So that's a little concerning that we may start out and the trail is bad. But at the same time, it's supposed to cool down, and I'm feeling optimistic about the weather forecast because it shows pretty mild temperatures but not too warm and also less snow, which is good.
Now, bike issues aside, how are you feeling about your own level of fitness for this race?
I'm actually feeling really strong right now. I've been tapering for the past couple of weeks. And so, you know, after training really hard and then cutting back quite a bit, I feel just really amped up and ready to go.
How did you get past certain fears you have had? Because you've been really candid about being scared sometimes out there.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done this before. And so there's a lot of unexpected out there that I'm trying to meet. And so I'm actually dealing with that by doing a lot of reading up on the trail, you know, and I've been doing a lot of research basically about different races in the past and what people experienced out there and trying to imagine myself in a similar situation and what I do. And that kind of helps me feel better about what might happen if I get caught in a blizzard or if my bike breaks down.
We talked with Bill Merchant, the organizer of the Iditarod Invitational, and I want you to listen to what he said when we asked him what would happen if you were to get injured. We're going to say, we don't want, of course it's not going to happen, but should you get injured somewhere along the trail?
The next racer behind her, if there is one, is the first person on scene. This race is different from all others in that we don't have a safety net out there. This is for people who know how to be self-sufficient.
Do you fall in that category, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I fully expect that kind of condition. If I injure myself badly enough that I can't even walk out, the only thing I can do is crawl into my sleeping bag, get as warm as possible, and wait for the next person to come by. You know, and like you said, it could be another racer. It could be, you know, a snowmobiler going through, and it could be, you know, within 5 minutes, or it could be a couple hours. That's something you have to be ready for and hope you don't injure yourself too badly.
We're speaking with Jill Homer. Frequent listeners of the show know the name. She, of course, is going to compete in the Iditarod Trail Invitational, the longest human-powered winter race. You've been training for this for months, but so has your boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking part in the race. Now, he's doing a different pace, right?
Yeah, he's doing it on foot. He won't have the bicycle.
Have you been communicating with each other this week, or is this just focus on the race week?
We've been talking quite a bit. Mostly when we talk this week, it's all about the race.
You wrote on your blog, "I believe setting too many goals in a race such as this one will only set me up for frustration and failure." So what goals have you set, if any, or are you just going to go out there and do it?
Well, of course, you know, I have the goal to finish. And that's why, you know, I want to be as flexible as possible in the meantime to give myself as good of a chance as possible to finish the race. Because if I set a goal saying I have to get to the first checkpoint in 10 hours, and then I get caught in a storm, you know, or the trail conditions are really bad and it takes me 20, I'm suddenly going to be really frustrated that, oh my gosh, I'm you know, twice behind my pace. How am I ever going to finish this race? And if I get too focused on thoughts like that, I'm already going to have a hard race ahead.
Jill, what have you learned about yourself through this entire experience training for this extraordinarily difficult race?
Well, the benefit of training for a tough race even is you do start to learn your strengths. You start to learn that you can be strong in difficult situations, and I think that is a hugely valuable knowledge to have. You know, I can persevere through this. I've also learned some of my fears that still linger, you know, and that those are things I have to deal with.
All right. We're all crossing our fingers that Pugsley, your bike, turns up.
Yeah, pray for Pugsley.
We'll pray for Pugsley. We'll all send good vibes your way on Sunday, and we can't wait to talk to you after you've crossed the finish line. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, good luck, Jill.
All right, thank you.
But wait, we have an update on Jill's bike.
Apparently, crossing fingers actually works. Federal Express now telling us they have found Pugsley the bike.
Yay!
Apparently, he's stuck at the Juneau Airport, delayed due to bad weather. FedEx says it expects to get to the bike to Anchorage by Friday, which Jill told us was the last day that she could get it, and still compete in the race. We'll keep on him. We'll keep you updated.
It's so dramatic, Jill's story. Jeez. Poor woman.
We'll give you all the updates on the Iditarod Trail Invitational on our blog, and we're hoping to check in with what will probably be a very tired Jill Homer after the 8-day race. Happy ending. There you go.
Yeah, very, very. Hey, stay with us next on The Big Show. We run down the most with our regular stable of producers. We like to think of them as a group of fine news steeds running free through the wild, sun-kissed fields of the internet. I didn't write that. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.
I feel like I have to go get them apples and carrots now.